Is it rolling, Bob?
Campers will recognize that sound. So, folks, I've been here 3 hours, and I guess that means I can talk to you now. Left home at 11, arrived at Point Farms at 2:30, right here on Lake Huron. It's a bit of a hike down to the actual beach on the water, but I'm saving that for tomorrow morning. I'm staying put in my campground. Scouted around. I've actually got a nice site, a fair amount of privacy. I mean, it's open like any provincial campground, but it's... I've seen many that I would not want to be staying at, sort of on the main road with the traffic going up and down. I'm just on one of the sides. So it was a decent spot. I'm just so glad I picked it up because there was nothing else at that time, you know, with plug-in and big enough for an RV. So got in, did what I had to do, got the... van all set up, plugged in, the awning out, and, you know, bed laid back, and the inverter on, so everything's ready to go, all the power inside. Just, you know, it takes half an hour, and you're, you know, fully set. Bought firewood on the way in, so that's good. And then, especially nice, last night, we had a lot of scrap wood in the garage. And I got number two son, formerly known as Chuck, to run it through the saw that we got, the power saw, and just cut me some nice little pieces. And we filled one box of just, like, the equivalent of kindling. And it's beautiful. And I've just got two logs as the base. And I've got a really nice little fire going now. It's just 5:30, and just poured myself some Italian red wine. I've already had a beer, and of course everything's cold. The fridge is working. That's wonderful, too. Had a beer. On the way up, I stopped at a place, I guess, run by Mennonite women. Really wonderful little, one of these country corner-type shops in a place called Palmerston, Ontario. That's all there was there. And I got cheese curds, an apple rhubarb pie or something. Maybe that's not it. And another kind of jam. No, the jam had blueberry and rhubarb. The pie was something else. Anyway, it looks... Was it a pie or was it a cake? Yeah, I think it was a cake. Well, it might have been apple caramel. Anyway, don't worry about it. I'll save that for later. I got plenty of food, and it's just so good to get away. I needed this. I mean, I'm only just starting. I've got... 3 full days, 72 hours to spend here, which is great. And happy to be on my own, you know. My wife, you know, sincerely meant go and have a good time. Enjoy it. And that is what I will do. I got a couple of pieces with nails on it that I want to burn. Get out of the way. Yeah, we got a good start here. And this will keep going all evening. Yeah, so that's all. I just wanted to share that with you. Say welcome to my camping trip, my little escape. This is a place, like I already knew on the drive up, I'll come back to this place, even before I'd seen the park. It's great. It's just a 3-hour drive, 3.5 hours. And you can do it with a lot of backcountry roads. Once you're off the 410, 401, 410, you got onto a lot of side roads. There was no traffic and, well, some, not much. And just very, very pleasant countryside. The area I'm in is known as, what is it? The Ontario's West Coast. That's it, Ontario's West Coast. So I'm so glad I picked this spot. I knew I needed to be near water. I wanted something different, a place I hadn't been to before. I've been through Goderich before. That's the nearest big town. But never here. And about one more fair size log on so that I can get good good coals going if I decided. I don't know what I'm going to do with supper. Hang on, I don't want to burn myself or the mic. I'm just going to put this right on there. There we go. And one thing I'm missing is I don't have a good poker stick. I think when I finally get one, it'll stay in the camper. Like, it's something I'll travel with. I've got things I could stick hot dogs on. Although I didn't bring any hot dogs. But I don't have, a good long stick, a poker stick. You know, you can't have a campfire without a poker stick. So that's on my list. I'm sure there's a few other things that I need, but we'll get by. Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to get started. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking. I want to be in the moment. I'm back to Brian Wilson, and he's just met the Maharishi, and he became a meditation teacher, and he was, he was the one, he tried mescaline twice, didn't like it, drank a lot of alcohol and smoked hash, but gave it up for meditation when he finally got there. But the key part of the book, the meat, is, Mike Love, I'm reading about, his cousin, Brian Wilson, just deteriorating over LSD. And I can tell there's a lawsuit coming up, and I guess the Beach Boys, as a band, were bad-mouthed in the press. Everybody said that Brian Wilson was the genius, and it came to the point where the Beach Boys were holding him back. And it's really not true. And I think a lot of people sort of champion that. So many books have been written about them that they've sort of gone with this storyline and blaming an awful lot of it on Mike Love, who's sort of the leader of the band. So that's kind of unfair. And I don't think true at all. I'm inclined to believe his version. I mean, he said if you're in this kind of business, you've got to develop a thick skin or just get out of the business. Because there's just so many lies and people with various axes to grind and angles and things they want to gain by certainly befriending Brian and getting on his side, which was, the druggies and the ones who wanted his money and so on. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. It's a wonderful read. And before I came, I said, there's one more thing I need before I head off on this trip. And it was to download from iTunes a copy of Smile. And if you're into the Beach Boys, you'll understand the significance of that. And if you don't, I'll tell you. I mean, that's the album that only just recently got released. And it's the one that sort of, he couldn't complete. It was all fragments, and there was just pieces. And it represented his insanity, really, at the time, that may have been the work of a genius, but it was also fragmented and represented his the loss of his mind, basically, the breakdown. So I have yet to, I know some of the songs, I have yet to listen to the whole thing, but I thought that would be a nice touch. If I'm going away with this book as my central part of my reading for this trip, I should have that very significant piece of music too. All right, catch you later. Bye-bye. Just a nice small fire going. Don't need a big blazer, but this is plenty of flame. And I'm just so happy that I got Chuck to cut up all that wood for me. It's just perfect. And they give you a decent amount of firewood here for $7. It's a good deal. They come in big bags, pre-wrapped, and all about the same size. It's wonderful. Now, I was going to talk you through a Lake Huron Sunset. But when I got down, there's one clearing at the end of the park. You can walk down several stairs and a trail to actually get on the beach. And it was just full of families and kids. And I just didn't want to do that tonight. But there's one clearing just at the end of the road that I'm close to. with a picnic table, and the bush got away, and it was just perfect lineup with the sun setting. So, of course, I wasn't the only one there, and that's why there's no audio from there. But it was actually kind of nice. It was a shared sunset with, you know, I didn't join in any conversations. I just held back and kept myself a stranger. I was happier that way. But it was sort of nice overhearing other conversations about what kind of dog is that, and what's it like in Goderich, and he was raised just a few kilometers from here, and bred hunting dogs, and so on. Just, you know, the local character scene, but everybody raving about how beautiful this part of Ontario is. So for sure, I'm going to make my way back again. I've been to Sauble Beach, and I've been to Georgian Bay area, but I haven't done much of Lake, and I've been on Lake Erie, but I haven't done much of Lake Huron. So there's a couple of other campgrounds, and when it's not so busy, maybe even this fall, I'm going to try again sometime. Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to give you an update. We'll call this day one, and I'm here for 3 days, so you'll be hearing more of me. But hopefully it won't drag out into too many podcasts. A lot of it is just, I just want the time to chill, relax. I've gone into the road track. It is pretty damn nice. I mean, to have a fridge, you open up, and like now that we're plugged in solid 220, you know, everything works. And so the fridge, you go in there and stuff is cold. The freezer is still keeping stuff frozen. I had to take a steak out to thaw it a little bit. That'll be for tomorrow, I guess. And then I just made up my bed. You know, all you do is slide a little bit of a platform over and put a couple of cushions down, and you got a great big bed. And so when it's time, I'll be tucking in, but I think I'll do that with some music, too. Pop something into the CD, maybe some Beach Boys again. Here into the player. Anyway, that's all for now. Just letting you know it's nice sitting here by a campfire and kind of what I wanted to do. Bye for now. Not much crackling from the fire, but it's there. I keep putting on wood. I'm going to finish that whole bag tonight, and I've got two more nights to go. So here's the problem, right? The firewood is at the entrance as you come in. Too far to walk, especially carrying a load of wood back. But the truck is all set up and plugged in. The whatchamacallit is out, the veranda type thing. No, not a veranda type thing. The thing that rolls out. You know? What the hell would you call that? That's terrible. I mean, wow. It's a shade. God, would this would be so scary if this was the turning point. So, that's when we noticed Ken had really taken a turn for the worse, you know. Couldn't remember simple names anymore. But let's not go there, because that sounds miserable and nasty. I was actually feeling pretty good up until we went down that pathway. Now, I'll tell you what. I got the fire going. I went in to get the camera. It looks so beautiful. There was just a point. But I'd been thinking about recording a little earlier, and I held off, believing that you can't really reflect if you're talking to an audience. And then I started questioning that and reflecting deeper on that question. And then finally, the fire looked so beautiful. I thought, damn it, now I don't have my recorder here, which, you know, I'd put back, and I don't have the camera. I'll go in and get both, and that'll allow me to talk to you. And then while I was at it, I thought, well, what the hell? Now that I'm up, I haven't had a drink for an hour and a half. So far, I've had one beer and half a bottle of Italian wine. So while I was in getting the camera and the recorder, I thought, why not get a beer? And I was kind of happy to look into the fridge and find well, 7, 8, 9 different kinds. And I had to actually think about which one I was going to get. And I settled on the Innocent Gun original. And then, of course, as soon as I saw that and decided on getting the beer, I thought, well, wait a minute, then I can't get a beer without getting Bob's mug, too. So here's to my good friend, the man who bought me the mug, the virtual Youper, Michael, who has been through one fuck of a tough year. I am sorry. Like, wow. Just too much going on. And I guess to some extent, poor Jason before had that going through with his mother, a mother's illness, you know. And I just was so lucky I didn't really have to deal with that. Had an older sister, and she took care of most things. I just visited. Told my son today, or yesterday before he left, how wonderful his mother, or his grandmother was, my mother. And he said, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get to know her more. Because I married late, and his kids didn't have much time with grandparents. Anyway, that's to Michael, and of course, this is to Bob, drinking out of his mug, or the Bob and AJ mug. Nice. Thank you. I wanted some taste, and I got it. Reflection I did a lot of. I thought about the tour and how, actually, I like doing that every year, and I want to continue as long as I can. Just have to stay smart about it. And then thought about those few days I spent up in Laurentians with my friend Michael and his wife, Mary. And thought, you know, boy, that'd be a nice tradition at the end of the tour to actually go back up and visit each year. We've started a pattern already. Then I thought about this camping trip that I'm on now. I thought, well, this is nice in the fall if you're here for sure, end of summer. After the tour, you got to do something. So going camping seemed a wonderful thing, and I'd even consider coming back at least to this area. And then that made me think about my friend Francis Wooby, who I exchanged a little banter with on Facebook. And I thought, well, there, Charbot Lake, right near where he lives, I should book a camping visit to Charbot Lake, and he can drop by and we'll have a visit. We've already talked about this. I just haven't pinned it down. I thought, well, there's another good thing to do. So I guess I'm thinking along the lines of, it's a good thing to fill your life up with the things you like doing, like reading that I'm doing. Also, during this period of reflection, I did go back to what I know has been echoed many times. Those of us who were born Canadian post-war were very, and are very, very fortunate. What a great time to have been born into in a great country, free of the agonizing choices America had to make over Vietnam and the stress and the strain that that country experiences so often, and the violence. To be Canadian was definitely winning the lottery. And I want to always be grateful for that. So, I did enjoy that period of reflection, and I don't know why I felt it was important to talk to you, because now this isn't as much fun as sitting back thinking, oh, I know what I was thinking about. Of course, I did want to share was the wonder, the beauty of my marriage to my dear, long-suffering wife. That elopement. I was thinking, well, this is a good, if you don't mind, I'll get into this now. I did put up a new blog post, and I will continue, and by the time you've heard this, there might be more to it. Called Scarborough Dude Sells Out. And the idea was to, picking along the lines of what Doug had mentioned long ago, tell a story with the different items in your bar and take a picture. So I set up the new MacBook and plugged in my Snowball mic and just held the item up to the camera and recorded a short 2-minute clip on the very first one called the Hash Knife. I'll post a link. With the idea of these things could be bid on, but you'd have to know the history. You know, you'd have to want to buy it. And I'm struggling with the words here to describe it because I'm wanting to say it's a joke. But no, it's a way of getting out some of these stories, you know, the bits and pieces, and identifying the objects in the bar before they get thrown away and before I die or forget what they were. It's a perfectly sensible thing to do. And bonus upon bonus, I showed my son just on a whim last night, just before bed, and he really liked it and wanted me to do more. And I guess it sort of would take the pressure off him ever having to try and remember anything that I've told him about some of these objects in the bar. And of course, the first one, the hash knife, he said, no, I want that. And that's part of the joke, you know, I'm putting bidding items on them to show, hey, these things have some value. And maybe if they didn't want them, then somebody else might. That hash knife is a pretty damn neat, cool knife, and it's an artifact. It's a thing. Depends how you value things in life, you know. You can just go to any store anytime, buy any knife, but this is a knife with a history. Belonged to a person. It cut a lot of hash back in those days. Anyway, what I was thinking about, and this does tie in, believe it or not, the next item might be two cups I have, and I showed those to number one son, too. Jerry was his name, wasn't it? The one slightly bigger than the other, representing the male and the female. And these were mugs that we bought in some sort of shop. They're not mugs, they're Japanese cups. What am I saying, mugs? They don't have handles. They're sort of clay color with a little leaf or something painted on them. They're quite beautiful, quite simple, wonderful to hold. And we bought them somewhere on Sado Island. And there's a picture of us on Sado on that honeymoon, elopement, with them in front of us. You know, these are the days before selfies. It's a color print. But with, I think, the Sea of Japan in the background and this most incredible, beautiful national park in Japan that was just stunning. And how beautiful and how romantic that was. My God. My marriage to this woman. This was an incredible story. This is the most romantic thing I could imagine. And you know, sometimes I apologize for saying that, but I'm not trying to measure weddings. Although I have seen some weddings where not everybody has fun. And parties. We didn't have a party or anything. I mean, we couldn't. We didn't. And that's a shame. There was a downside to it, too, of course. But it was pretty special. Ah, Olaf, there's another item that I'll bring up, which is tied to this marriage, too. The only wedding gift we got. And it was from Brian and Maureen. I am so sorry. Anyway. Those are some of the places my mind was going to tonight while I sat here in the dark alone with the fire and, something else I did. At home I had, like, I don't know, maybe a quarter pound of bacon or something. 8 slabs. And I thought, oh, I should bring that camping too, but I didn't want it to. I didn't know if the fridge would be working well or not. So I threw it in the road trek freezer. Well, of course it froze solid. So I cut it in half, and I've got them in a pan, a little frying pan from my old camping days, on the grate, on the fire I've got. Now, there's just not much heat. It's a very small fire. Like, there's hardly any flame at all. A bed of coals, but this thing is, you know, at least 18 inches. Sorry, I can't give it to you in metric. Away from the nearest flame. And the coals are lower than that. Almost 2 feet from the bed of coals. So there, it's no longer frozen, I'll say that. But it still looks pretty white. You wouldn't want to eat it yet. And that's one of the reasons I went in to get a drink, too. I'm going to be out here for a while cooking that damn bacon. Anyway, all of which is to say I'm having a good time and I'm happy about it. And I feel funny sharing it with you because why should I be bothering? But the turning point was when I started thinking about the wonderful friends I have thanks to podcasting, the people I've met, the enriched friendships, the quality of the people, their interesting stories and their backgrounds and their jobs, and how enriching this experience has been. And immediately have to do a jump cut to another country where the government licenses and controls everything, and you know, might be harder for people just to get access to the technology and the internet access to upload things without Big Brother watching. And here we are, this just wonderful freedom. And of course, that's one of the reasons I'm doing it. This is the freedom to have a voice. It is a political act, and I've always believed that. And it's yeah, well, we're just fortunate to have the degree of freedom we do without oversight or anybody you have to answer to for the messages you may send. Of course, mine doesn't really send much other than its story, maybe, of a man who has a need to share, considers himself very fortunate. Again, going back to this other friend, Mike, like he lets me into. He's a fairly private person, and I was able to fit in and have intimate conversations. I did tell him, maybe I already mentioned this on a podcast, that, you know, when I die, there's going to be a lot of people sorry that I'm gone. And it makes me feel good to say that. Makes me reflect back, even before I went out and got the Bob mug, that that whole incident in Kingston, the celebration of Bob's life, and my own meltdown. All right, do I put on one log or do I just leave it like this? I'm going to put on a stick again from the box Daniel gave me. Anyway, you don't need the blow-by-blow description of the fire. I guess I'll leave it at that. But I am sort of glad I have some listeners out there. And I'm certainly glad I have some friends. Final point. I'd be very curious to know how anybody else thinks about my cancellation of the trip to go up, or postponement maybe, to go up to Yellowknife this fall, because I know Barnacle Bill is very angry and you know, it's caused unpleasantness between us, but it's not the first time that's happened, of course. It happens often. I think it'll continue to get worse. I point the finger at Barnacle Bill, mind you, but but the thing is, like, was it, like, I know it was the right decision and nobody else can judge. But was anybody else, like, disappointed? Oh, that's too bad. That would have been more interesting podcasting. Or, gee, Ken should have done that. He bought a road trek and now he's not using it, you know. Well, I'll tell you, I'm using it right now. And this is the ideal for me to be able to back it into a campsite and be able to bring all your shit with you, all your recording gear. I got computers, I got books, I got everything I need in there. It's very comfortable and cozy, and you got a fucking bed to lie down, a fridge full of cold beer, toilet to piss in if you need it. I haven't even used the burner yet. May do that, probably do that tomorrow. I got a microwave, heated up some Thai soup earlier. So just using it for this kind of thing, it's not just about the long-distance travel. It's about the convenience of having it. Although, and I'm not going to share it with you because that could only get me into more of a mess. But I'm thinking maybe to have plans for next winter. Damn, said too much already. All right. Bye. For now, don't have the bell. It's back in the van. Yeah, it even has a podcasting bell. Anyway, I'm just feeling very, very good. And glad I did this and glad I threw that last stick on the fire. Bye for now. Again. It's going to be a short clip, I promise. It's Saturday, August 25th. This must be Dixon Jane's number 638 or 9. Can't remember, it doesn't matter. You'll know when you look at the number. I wonder if any of you look at the pictures I post with it, too. I always have some picture, some image that, sometimes matches the content or has some connection to it, sometimes not. Doesn't matter much. I dreamt about Bob last night. I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know what I said in the previous clip, but I think I talked about Bob and a little bit and how much he meant to me, or I wanted to say that. Because I really did feel, and it occurred to me when I was driving down that, yeah, Bob was, if I really had an issue or a problem or something that I needed to talk to somebody who'd give me a straight answer, it would be Bob, you know, and it's interesting. I don't think I realized how important that connection was to me. Maybe until we lost Bob. I mean, I always knew there was a special friendship there and connection and a history. But his loss really left a hole. I'm wearing the Bob t-shirt today. I'm drinking out of the Bob AJ and mug, Bob and AJ mug, my coffee. The first two coffee had Grand Marnier, and then I saw it in my basement bar. Kenji had stocked the whole bar, and I had my hands on a bottle of French cognac, and saw the Grand Marnier and thought, oh, that'd make a nice sweetener, too. So, anyway. So, in the dream, I was talking to, I think the dreams got blended. I think Bob was in one of the dreams, and then another part, or it morphed into something else when I was asking for some reassurance, and it's something I think I want a lot, and you know, cry out for sometimes on this podcast. Yeah, I want people to tell me, Ken, I like your podcast. But I was looking for that kind of reassurance. In fact, I was looking for admiration from Bob. And, you know, I mean, I think I did have it, especially in the early days of Dixon James, when it was something a little different, a little unusual. Not, you know, I was definitely marching to my own beat at that time. And someone in the dream, and I don't know who it was, but, you know, I think somebody who knows me and I know them well, said Bob admired you. And, you know, sometimes dreams have an emotional component. Usually we think of dreams as being visual and words are spoken. But there can be an emotional element, too. And I know I felt. The dream ended at that. But it ended with me feeling really, really good. Really happy to hear that. It's funny. Anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you. I went to bed probably around midnight. Had the music on, and I realized, God, I was probably the only camper here with music, and I had my windows open a bit, so I worried a little bit about the noise carrying. So, shut her down, and now I'm up with my coffee. I'm going to, the bacon never did get cooked last night, but I've got it in the microwave, and I'm going to zap it a little bit, and I think it's going to be quite tasty. Got a couple of boiled eggs. I got a toaster I'll probably haul out later. It's pretty nice, pretty comfortable. The road truck's already a mess. I think I realized pretty early on, this is ideal for one person. And I know that trip I'd planned with Bruce would have involved a fair amount of discipline and organization, just in terms of where you put things, who gets up first and changes, where the old clothes lie, you know. And now I'm just throwing stuff all around. The place is filled up. It's a pigsty already. This is not washed, you know, and it doesn't matter. I don't care. And I think that's sort of one of the joys of this thing, of solo traveling anyway. I'd love to go camping with a friend, but with the idea that the friend either has their own vehicle to sleep in or packs a tent. What's that? Sorry. Anyway, I think that's it. I gotta get back to the Beach Boys. I cannot tell you how much I'm enjoying reading this book. It's rock history, but it's also my history. Even though I never saw the Beach Boys live, I'm very sorry Brian has. I'm really sorry I didn't. But just the stories, the background, and especially this is probably the, you know, second or third book I've read about them. So you get a different perspective each time. The same stories come up. Him with the Maharishi, him, you know, with the Beatles, and all these elements, and you see it from a different, slightly different shifted angle. And it's fun. All right. I'm going to leave it there and get back to my coffee and my book. Talk to you later on. No plans for the day. May walk down to the beach. In fact, I have to do that for sure. But that's about it. Bye for now. Is it rolling, Bob? She's rolling. It's, about 10 after 2 on that same Friday afternoon. I just had lunch and made myself a cup of tea. in the Bob and AJ mug. Heavy on the milk. Now, here's the thing that I'm happy to report. I finally turned on the propane tank and used the stove for the first time ever. Didn't light at first. I read the instructions again and just said, no, just try again. And, you know, for a moment, you're sort of thinking, oh, shit. What have I done wrong or what's broken here? But it lit up with a beautiful flame, and what a delight to be able to. I bought a can of soup in Shoppers Drug Mart. It was a spicy Thai soup full of vegetables, chicken vegetables, something or other, but it was Thai, and it was very flavorful. And maybe it was $2 or something. And that did me two meals. Now, the first time I heated it in the microwave, this time, poured it into a pot, and just heated it up in no time on the stove. How handy is that? That is just so wonderful. And then pumping the primer like on my old Coleman. You know, just boom, hold a light to it, and there she goes. So anyway, add that soup, and then the more cheese curds on my sesame crackers, and the more of that darn caramel icing apple cake that I bought. Wow, it's so good. So it's just a treat, and then took the steak out. Steak is still frozen, but added some spices to it, and I'm letting it thaw it. Room temperature, although that would be the interior, the road trek temperature, for a bit, and we'll be sure we'll be cooking that up tonight. Could do it in a fry pan, but I think better if I can, if I've got the right gear. What I'm in the middle of now is just preparing a list of the food, essential food items to bring with me, and then camping here, because this is really a test out. I feel I've barely used this thing. I mean, when you camp in somebody's driveway, you're not really putting it to its full use. And the time I went up to Algonquin Park in the winter, that was just, you know, didn't use any of the big features, just slept in the damn thing. But anyway, now I've got everything working, and it's wonderful. And I really see the benefits of paying that extra for 220 service and plugging the bugger in and then having everything work. Inside, you know, I use the toaster. Of course, that set off the alarms. I had to prop the door open. I got a toaster oven, microwave, the propane stove. It's just amazing. So this is kind of the beginning, and it's a step I needed to go through. I think I mentioned, I mean, I haven't had it a year yet, and I mentioned at the beginning, near the beginning, that I have to slowly grow into this thing and get used to it and feel comfortable, feel like it's really mine. That takes time, or it does with me anyway. And this is another big step along the way, actually going off camping and plugging it in and using the various features that you buy these damn things for. So that's wonderful, including a fridge full of cold beer and cheese curds and whatever, milk for my tea. That is just great. No more buying blocks of ice. I guess that's it. I did spend an hour and a half just sitting on the shore of Lake Huron. It was beautiful. Just listening to the waves come in. There's a little beach area you can drive down to, or from this park you can actually walk. They've built a beautiful set of steps and stairs down, getting you right down to the water. And it's quite nice. It felt wonderful just having the water wash up against my feet. I'm always interested when kids go by, the dynamics of kids, because it takes me back to my own. So I see there's an age range, right, of little kids have to hang out with the bigger kids, and their parents are wanting all the kids to play together, and there's families, and some kids maybe are meeting for the first time, and others, their family friends. But when there's girls involved, suddenly it gets more interesting for the older boys who want to impress, and the girls who want to somehow practice their charms. I just find it fascinating. Now, here's a good lad. He's looking after his little brother, both of them. He's got his arm around both of them. Maybe they're cousins, I don't know. But he's looking after them. He stayed back to bring them in line. And that, you know, you talk about the child as the father of the man. And so much of Man, I can go on forever about that, and so could you, I'm sure. So let's just leave that there. All of which is just to say, God damn, this is nice, and I'm really happy. This spot is really nice. Sun's beating down on me now, but there's a little breeze, which is just gorgeous. Got a picnic table in the full sunshine, but I got two chairs, and one of them is that captain's chair with a little fold-out table. So the big Coleman chair that I bought for Bruce has become my favorite, and I opened up the other one just to make use of the table for my book, my camera, my recorder, and my Bob and AJ mug. A little early for beer. I'm going to leave that. I was tempted. I might even go in and have a little nap. I'd have to clean off the bed, but that wouldn't be too hard. Put the fan on, open the windows. Yeah, sounds good. All right, that's all. Just a little update on how nice this is and how I'm looking forward to the trips that will also follow this one. Yours truly, Scarborough Dude, signing off. Check, check. Yeah, one more short report. At least I hope it's short, but who knows? New thoughts come into my head, and I gotta share them. I'm just up from a little half nap, I guess. Maybe a cat nap, not entirely sleeping. But, felt so good to stretch out. And what was especially nice, and again, this comes from being plugged in, is having access to the surround sound DVD player. I put in this double Beach Boys CD, Surf's Up, and I can't remember the other cut or the other album. But really great stuff. And it's just so funny because it's so rich, so fresh in my mind. I'm just reading about Mike Love talking about making those songs and so-and-so solo on this part and how it charted and so on. But to lie there and that cranked up just a little bit, but, you know, my head between these two speakers in the back, speakers in the front, it's wonderful. Like, what a bonus. I had no idea that was a feature of this model of Road Trek. Comes with a surround sound and a DVD player. And what a treat. I only have one DVD given to me. It's just not something I spend much time doing, but I think if I could get hold of, like, some video concerts, I guess the concert for George, I think that's one that I'd probably buy if I ever found it used at Deja Vu or something to have for the music and just the good feeling about it. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. It was one new thing I'm trying out again, you know. And now I've just put on the leftover tea in a big pot back on the stove. Lit that flame and it just lights up so beautifully. It's like a new. It's perfect. And I'm thrilled. I'm overjoyed. I'm just damn happy that I've got this toy and I'm just starting to make better use of it. And I guess that's what I needed to tell you. And I guess I just should shut right up now and get back to the Beach Boys. They were trying performing, you know, July 1st concerts in Washington and to huge crowds, and it's God, I don't know, you know, I mean, it must be so boring hearing me say this, but it is such an interesting read. But I guess it's just because it's me, because I'm tuning it in with the music, and to somebody else it might just be a biography of, you know, Mike Love, guy who was in the Beach Boys. But it's just so much more than that to me. I think also it's just I like the intricacies of other people's lives. I like the details, the stories. And he's doing his best. He's the kind of guy who couldn't express his feelings, but he sure had some good help getting this book written. And it's wonderful. All right, shut up, Ken. Bye for now. Oh, it's too early for beer. That's why I'm drinking my chai. And it's a treat, too. Yeah, the beer will come soon enough. Well, then when you get beer, you need snacks. Got to break out the chips. And then, oh, looking forward to cooking my steak. And that'll mean I'll probably open the bottle of wine. Oh, my God. And I got another full day tomorrow. This is luxury. Bye for now. It's wonderful to see the energy of kids racing around in groups, most of them on bicycles. In fact, one of the things I've noticed now is everybody seems to have a bike. And I'm thinking, next trip, maybe just see if I can just wheel it into the road track. And then if I decide, yeah, it's a good thing to have camping, then look into getting some kind of fastener for the back where most people put their bikes. I don't want it sticking out any further than it already is with the Continental tire on the back, but there must be some way to stand it upright or whatever. Anyway, that's there. It's not here. I got the steak sitting in a frying pan. It's a brand new Tefal pan. It's going to be absolutely filthy after this. But it's sitting on the grill. There's more smoke than flame right now. Got big pieces of wood on there, and of course the kindling I used last night, I got more of that. So, it's a fire, but it's not what you'd call a blazer. But mainly, I just want to get that steak cooked, tossed a little red wine into the mix, into the pan. Got a bottle going, it's a nice French Grenache, I believe. Yeah. Anyway, not quite sure why I turned this on to talk to you at this point, other than continuing a pattern. I'm getting bogged down in the Mike Love book. It's down to the final, the main trial in the early 90s between him and Brian Wilson over copyright to the songs and ownership. The Wilson father, Murray, sold the songs to the record company for $700,000, took the money, basically stole them, more or less. Anyway, it's an ugly story. It's just, you know, Mike is on, God, has got to be at least his fifth marriage. Children from four or five different mothers, which he never saw, never looked after. Only the last son. That's often the case, right? You become a famous star, you don't have time to do the family shit. Looking after kids, you leave that to the wife or the woman, the mother. And, of course, they all say later on they regret it, but that's an ugly story, especially with the not so much promiscuity, but that's a weird thing in itself. But the drugs, just the crazy, crazy, crazy amount of drugs, and a lot of them say it's just to escape. You know, these guys become famous at the age of 20 or under, and they just can't handle it. Suddenly they got everything, you know, and it just messes your head up. Like, the world becomes very unreal. So, anyway, you don't need to know that either, do you? Maybe I'll just shut this sucker off and talk to you later when you're in more of a mood for listening. Assholes. Well, sorry. Okay, I gotta cut in again. Another one of my observations on parenting and kids. There's been a gang who just keeps circling and circling, and it doesn't bother. I mean, I'm happy to see them having fun, and just the vibes. The oldest kid, like, walking backwards. And I know he's doing that so he can actually look at the two girls who are following him, you know, because obviously he's a big attraction. Oh, jeez, there they go again. They're two girls, they got a third little girl they had. It's wonderful to see them race around. But there's another family that just checked in today, and they've got a little girl. And a lot of these kids have bicycles or they're running. Their little girl's on one of these little push scooters. But she's also being forced to wear a helmet. And you just, pretty unlikely you're going to get hit by a car here or fall and hit concrete, because there is no concrete or pavement. And as soon as she leaves, steps out of their campsite, they're yelling after, you know, Natalie, where are you going? Natalie, you get back here. No, Natalie. And they just keep calling and letting her go, you know, and holding her back. And she keeps going back for that kind of reassurance, almost like a pet, you know. she comes back for it. I guess this is her comfort zone, too, to have parents who keep calling out after. Anyway, she just came back with another girl and said, Mommy, I made a friend. I guess that might not seem all that funny to you. It's not funny at all. There's nothing funny about it. Don't know why you're laughing. Last bite. Oh, my God. I have one bite of steak left. It just wasn't heating up fast enough on the grill. I told you last night how far the grill is from the flame. I gave that to you in the old system, inches instead of metric. Sorry. So I took it back in and went right back inside, and of course knew that I would just have to press the button and hold the sparkler, and up pops a beautiful flame on my little kitchen stove. So fried up the rest there just to heat it up. I had thrown in spices. I bought a thing of spices you could probably get in one of these cheap shops. Yeah, Dollarama, $1.50. Four different spices. Lemon pepper, barbecue Texas, steak and chops, and medium seasoning mix. And I thought, well, how could I not get that when, you know, just, it's a neat, you know, one container, but four types. You just open the four different lids. It didn't make a huge difference. I mean, basically, you need salt and pepper, that's all. But still, I'm down to the last bite. I'll share it with you, all right? Here we go. It's nice, not too big a piece. Very pinkish inside, the way I like it, of course. Now, it was a T-bone, but in terms of quality of steak, it wasn't that great. No, it had been frozen, you know, so we're not being fresh here and thawed. And it just, you know, I like the texture, I like the meat, I love cutting it up with a really sharp knife. I mean, I love cutting up meat. Even when I'm making like a stew or a chili, I love buying a couple of chunks of steak that's not cut up and then just slicing it and slicing it again. I just love that slicing of raw meat. Anyway, here's another glass of wine, and looks like it's going to be a nice evening sitting around the fire watching the kids play. When I go to bed, I will have that stereo on again. Maybe I'll put Love on this time instead. We'll see what else I got. And that's it. Just sharing these little clips, you know, for a change of a happy dude sitting around a fire camping and feeling very comfortable about it. My camping days, I mean, I never went with my father. I was taken on trips with friends of the family. But when I moved out to British Columbia in 1972, got my first car and hung out with my buddies, that's when I started camping. And, you know, and when I get back to Ontario, I mean, it almost died. It's just like in Vancouver, you just, every weekend, especially during that time I was there, you just got up and you went somewhere. I made a lot of group campouts, including the Mother's Day annual. Which was, man, that's got a history, like the Rock had a history. It was originally the annual Mother's Day camping weekend drunk. We dropped the drunk part after we got more of our mothers with children coming. But people still got mighty, mighty drunk at that time, at those campsites. And they were like in the interior of BC, up near Merritt. And in fact, one of the places was a place that our good friend Adam Greatrix goes to, right near there. So, here's another guy I miss, another guy I'm glad to have met, but just don't see enough of or hear enough from, you know? It's like, I don't know. Here goes the kid on the scooter. I don't see your new friend. All right, going to continue to enjoy the wine and read a little more while I've still got light. Not going to bother catching sunset tonight. Just going to sit here and enjoy the fire. Had a good one last night. Got some good pictures. Signing off.
Out in the barnyard, the chickens do their number. Out in the barnyard, the cuckoo chopping lumber. Take my shoes off, hit the dirt, do 2.5. Next time I'll leave my head.